So tonight we're talking about fear or faith, your choice. And so we're going to start off with John chapter 14, verse 22. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Again, John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Time after time, all through his time on this earth, Jesus told his disciples not to be afraid. It's repeated over and over and over. But telling someone not to fear doesn't take away our fears. Godly people get afraid. And so having fear is not a problem. It's not a sin. It's a human emotion. Fear can be a good thing. When you hear a really loud noise right behind you, most of us are going to jump because it's scary. You don't know what's going on. That can be a good fear. You get out of the way. But other fear, fears of things we can't do anything about, literally destroys the peace and the joy and the hope and even a lot of Christian people. So fear is an important thing. In Hebrews 13, verse 6, it says, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Overcoming fear is found through confidence in our God and in our God's promises. It's not something you just say, "I'm not going to be afraid anymore." It's something you have to overcome with faith. Faith overcomes fear. It isn't that fear doesn't exist. It isn't that we lose grip on our hearts. What it is we're not walking in faith when fear overcomes us and we walk in fear. Fear is a good human emotion, but it shouldn't be a constant emotion in our hearts all the time. And many Christians have exactly that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Faith in what? A lot of people have faith. People have faith in all kinds of things. But for the Christian, it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and faith in His Word. When we base our life on His Word and His promises, and we trust them, we don't get afraid near as much. Now, there's going to be times you're going to have fear in your life, and that's okay. But it should not be a constant part of our lives. We look at the coming election, and we say, "What's going to happen if the wrong party wins?" Well, it's not going to be good, but I want to tell you, the right party could win, and it could still be bad. And so we're not in charge of that. We're in charge of our vote. We're in charge of helping people to understand why we are going to vote the way we should. I think everybody ought to be talking to other people. And I know people say don't talk about politics. But my friend, the other side's talking about politics all the time. We need to speak up and say why we're against abortion. Why don't we believe that boys and girls ought to be taught that they might be something else, a cat or a boy, girl, or whatever? Why is that? We ought to be able to defend our thoughts with God's Word. In Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Trouble's coming. Jesus didn't say, because you're a Christian, you're not going to have trouble. In fact, he said exactly the opposite. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells us, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Many great people in the Scriptures were afraid. And so again, I'm not telling you fear is a sin. It's not. But walking in fear for a long time very likely could be. We need to be careful how long we stay afraid. But I want you to think about Nehemiah for just a minute. Nehemiah was a slave. He was captured when the Babylonians came in and took over. They took Nehemiah away to Babylon, and Nehemiah became a servant, the wine bearer, for the king, Artaxerxes. He was a slave with no rights, and slaves in that time, if they went into the presence of the king and they were sad about anything, you could not be sad in the presence of the king. You always had to have a smile on your face and a cheerful attitude, or you could be put to death. Nehemiah had his brothers and some others come and tell him the terrible shape Jerusalem was in. There was no wall around the city. People were being attacked daily. Nehemiah felt bad about it, and he went into the presence of the king that next day with a sad face. And the king said to Nehemiah, "Why are you sad? And if you knew you could die for being sad in the king's presence, you'd be a little afraid too." Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid.' But I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven." Folks, fear is a reality. He could have died for this, but he was bold instead. It wasn't saying he wasn't afraid. It's that his faith overcame his fear. His trust in God overcame the fear, and he boldly said to the king, "My city was destroyed," and guess who destroyed it? This king's people destroyed it. "I want to see my city rebuilt." Folks, the chances are really good he's about to die. He got a little afraid, no doubt about it, but he admitted to the king what his problem was, even though he knew it could bring him death, because the Lord was working in his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. Nehemiah didn't stop. Once the king says, "What is it you want?" Nehemiah said, "I would like letters to the governors of that area to give me the materials I need to rebuild the city. I want to go there, and I'm going to be gone quite a while, king." Folks, slaves didn't get freed like that, but Nehemiah did, because he chose faith over fear. Sometimes we have to speak up, and that's what I'm telling you politically. This is the time to speak up. If our nation doesn't change course pretty quick, we're going to be bankrupt. Our nation will not be like it is. We can't keep going $5 billion a day in debt. No nation can exist like that. We've got to put a stop to it. And I know it's not just Democrats. I understand that. Republicans are signing the check too. They're sending it off. But sooner or later, we got to say, we have to learn how to live within what we have. not what we'd like to have. Sure, it's nice to get free TV from them and free money. All this is free. It's just take whatever you want. But folks, it can't go on. It's got to stop. In Psalm 56, verse 3, David was afraid just like Nehemiah was afraid. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We're not sure how old David was. It calls him a youth. He may have been 17, 18, 19, 20, maybe up to 25. But as a youth, David, who was just an ordinary guy, probably 6 foot tall, maybe a little shorter than that, went up against a giant of a man, 9 foot, 6 inches tall. The giant's got a spear and a sword and a shield bearer. David's going out against him with what? A sling and 5 smooth stones. David, I'm sure, was afraid, but David knew that through the power of God, he'd already slain a lion with his bare hands. He'd already slain a bear with his bare hands, and he expected God was going to help him slay this giant as well. And he overcame his fear, and he went forward in battle. When Saul was after him, David wasn't king right away. The prophet said, you're going to be the next king. But Saul didn't like that. Saul wanted his son Jonathan to be the next king. And Saul set about trying to kill David. And David said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. God had given David a promise. You're going to be the next king. What does that mean? That means nobody and nothing can stop that. Saul with an entire army. Imagine having the army of the United States chasing after you, wanting to put you to death. Do you think you might be just a little bit afraid? I think with good reason. David, I'm sure, was quite afraid. But David said, God has promised, I'm going to trust him. We can't overcome our fear through denial. Fear is real. There are some things that shake us right to our roots. But we can overcome our fear with our faith. God has promised you a few things too. God has promised you, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to get you home safe to heaven. God has promised you that he'll be with you all the way on the trip. He's going to be with you every single day of your life. He's promised nothing can touch you unless he allows it. And if he allows it, he's promised you in Romans 8:28 that he's going to work it for your good. He didn't say it'll all be good, but he said everything he allows in the life of one of his children, if we'll love him and obey him, he'll work it all for our good. And so we really have nothing to fear. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you'll draw water from the wells of salvation. How is it that we're not afraid? It's because of our faith. Terrible things are happening all around us in our nation. I'm not afraid. I hope you're not. I hope you're not walking in fear today. I hope you're walking in faith. We know the end of the story, and so we can walk with our Lord all the way through this life. We're going to have trouble. Yes, we are. But we're going to get home safe, and so we can trust our Lord. So why will I not be afraid? Because the Lord will be my strength. It isn't my peace anymore. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. And so it isn't my peace. It's his peace when I simply trust in him. When we're full of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. When we're not full of peace, and like I said before, fear is a good emotion. It'll get you out of some trouble sometimes because you'll run if you have to, or you'll fight if you have to. But staying in a spirit of fear for a week or a month or a year or 10 years, I can tell you people that are afraid all the time, and some of them are Christians, but they're living in fear. The Lord does not want us to do that. Faith says, my God is in control, and nothing can touch my life unless God allows it to. That's the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. For no temptation, no trial has come into your life except what's common to man, and God will not allow anything to touch you that you can't overcome through faith in him. It's a wonderful promise. Remember the disciples in the storm on the sea? In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it tells us about that. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They went from fear of nature and the calamity they were in to a terrible fear of the Lord. And I want to tell you, a terrible fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. When you fear the Lord more than you fear what's going on in your life, you're going to have the peace of the Lord. In fact, another memory verse I would just advise you, if you possibly can, memorize Isaiah 33, verse 6. It's an exciting verse. It'll help you all the rest of the days of your life if you'll just hide it away. Isaiah 33, 6 says he will be the sure foundation for your times. What does that mean? That means no whatever time in history we live, and this is our time right now, he's the foundation, a rich source of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. When you learn the fear of the Lord, it's a reverential awe for God. It's not that I'm terrified of God. It's that God's more powerful than any trouble I can ever have. I'm going to reverence the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. He's going to be the foundation of my life, and I don't have to be afraid of anything. Folks, that's what the Lord's looking for, is faith in our hearts. I've told this story before because it's so precious to me. As a little boy in Saginaw growing up, we went out, I and my dad, walking one night in the summer. It was a beautiful summer night, but it was dark out, really dark out, and I was just a little guy. And the lights on every corner had a street light in Saginaw when I was a boy. And the trees would move in the wind and the light and the darkness, and I really got scared until my dad reached down his hand and touched my hand. I wasn't afraid anymore. Why? Because nobody was stronger than my dad. He could pick me up with one hand and put me right on his shoulder. Now, he wasn't the biggest man that ever lived. In my eyes, he was. But we have a God that is the strongest of the strong. We have a God that can do anything. When we have Christ as the major foundation of our life, and our faith is strong in him, nothing on this earth can keep us afraid. Again, fear is a good emotion. I'm not telling you never to be afraid. Because there are things, if you see a growling dog, a big 200-pound dog, and there are some dogs that are close to 200 pounds coming at you, you better be afraid. But what should you do first? Before you even start to run, you ought to start praying. This could really hurt. But I want to tell you, the Lord will take care of it. Prayer should be our escape, is, Lord, help me. That's what Peter said when he was going down, didn't he? He saw the waves and he got afraid and he began to sink. And all he said was, Lord, help me. The Lord reached out his hand and picked him up. If the Lord can pick a man, a full-grown man, out of the water while he's standing on the water, guess what? He can handle any problem you've got. If we have a reverential awe for God, we have nothing else to fear. Another example would be Jacob when he fled his home because his older brother Esau was going to kill him, and for pretty good reason. Jacob had stolen the birthright. Esau, as the firstborn, should have got the double blessing, and Jacob would have got a single blessing of what his father's estate was. But Jacob schemed and lied and got the blessing. His brother was going to kill him if he stayed there. And so Jacob went away to Uncle Laban. And of course, when he was with Uncle Laban, he got treated the same way he treated his brother. He got cheated and schemed. When the Lord says you're going to reap what you sow, you better take that to the bank. You better be one that's sowing good things on the lives of others because they're going to sow back to you. In Genesis 32, verse 9, his brother's coming because Jacob's going back. The Lord told him, go back and I'll bless you. Jacob's right in the will of God. He's going back and he gets news because he sent some men out to see his brother before he got there. And his brother's coming with 400 armed men to get him. And of course, what does somebody think when you got 400 armed men coming to get you? They're coming to get me, not for good. They're going to take me out. In Genesis 32, verse 9, Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I'll make you prosper. I'm unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I am afraid he'll come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you've said, I'll surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. Jacob, instead of continuing in fear, turned to the Lord in prayer and simply repeated back to the Lord what the Lord had promised him. That's all we need do. When things happen, we simply go to the Lord and we ask, Lord, you gave me a promise. The Lord's promised to meet all of our needs, has he not? That's what he said. Not all of our wants, but all of our needs. And as long as we have that, the Bible says we ought to learn to be content. We don't have to fear the things that so many others fear. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in our God and His Word. Satan wants you to throw that away. He wants you to fear everything, because then you will not walk in faith. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. Suppose David hadn't persevered. Who would have been the next king? It wouldn't have been David. We have to live by faith to get the results of what faith brings. You can go down the Bible with a list of characters. If fear would have controlled their lives, they would have never reaped the benefits of walking with their Lord. We dare not let fear take over. We have to have confidence in our Lord. Anxiety arises up and tries to rule our lives. Again, fear and anxiety is a human emotion. It's not evil in and of itself. It's only evil when you let the fear control your life. We need to let faith control our lives. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You as a Christian have the power already given to you to take every thought you have and to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. It's a simple matter of walking in your faith and not allowing fear to control your lives. The Bible teaches that everything in this universe is held together by the power of Jesus Christ. If He can hold this whole universe together, He can take care of you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Since that's true, because it is part of the Word of God, and He's in control of everything, and He loves you, do we have anything we have to fear? And the answer is no. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to supply the need of His sheep. That's exactly what we are. We have to trust Christ not only for salvation, we have to keep trusting Him to overcome the fears of this life. The greatest fear, of course, is the fear of death. When we have faith in the Lord, when we have faith in His Word, that at the very second of death, our soul goes to heaven, and we're never going to be sick, we're never going to be sad, death loses its power. But when we still quake with fear because we don't trust God's Word, and we say, man, death is going to be the end. Do you realize what Satan has done? He's won a major victory with you, because you're fearing the very thing the Lord said we ought to be looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that time when I'm going to leave this sinful earth and I'm never going to know any problems again. It's a wonderful thing, not a terrible thing. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of all the pain and the suffering and sorrowing, seeing people that I love get very, very ill and die, and sometimes it takes months before they go. I'm tired of that. I'm going to be glad I'm going to a place where I'm never going to see that again. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Nothing changes after salvation unless we walk in our faith. You can still be afraid all the time unless you say, it's crazy for me to be afraid all the time. God has promised to take care of me. He's promised to get me home safe. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to let the fear of the Lord overcome my fear of this life. This life is temporary, no matter how much fear you have. You could fear every single day, and you're going to actually shorten your life instead of lengthen your life. Or you can walk in the reverence of the Lord and not fear anything man can do to you, and you might live longer. I'm not crazy about living longer, but it might be. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But then he goes on. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Folks, if we keep our minds on those things, We won't be controlled by our fears. Whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen from me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. It doesn't say he might be with you. It doesn't say he could be with you. He will be with you, and he'll fill you with his peace, not your peace. It's his. And it all comes through faith. Simple as that. You have the choice. You can choose to live the rest of your years fearing what might happen. Or you can decide, I'm going to start learning the promises of God. I'm going to hide them away in my heart. And the next time fear comes, I'm going to use the scriptures as the tool to overcome my fear. The Lord wants us to be those that hide his word. There was a woman that had a lot of fear. She had been sick for a number of years. In fact, 12 years. Tells the story here in Luke 8, verse 43 through 48. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. Yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came up and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. What that tells me is, no matter what's going on in your life or my life, Jesus can set us free anytime he wants to. And if he doesn't want to, then I go back to Romans 8:28. And I say, Lord, I don't understand why you don't want to heal me. I really don't understand why the Lord doesn't want to heal my shoulder or my neck right now. Both are out. They're not good. But for some reason, I prayed about it. I know the Lord can, but he chose not to. So I go to Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. So for some reason, my neck being messed up and my shoulder is a good thing. I've got to take it by faith. I don't like it. I wish it was different. But if it's not going to be different, my fretting over it is going to do how much good? Not going to do a bit of good. Jesus told the woman it was her faith that had healed her. Now, sometimes faith will heal somebody. Sometimes faith will just give you the peace that passes all understanding. Either way, we come out the winner. In James chapter 5, verse 14, the Lord gives this command to his church. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. There's nothing too hard for God. He can change any of us anytime, but it's through faith. It's always through faith. And so we have to pray to the Lord to give us faith. And where does faith come from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, and we see how he calmed the storm for the disciples, how he healed that woman of 12 years of bleeding, how he's healed others, how he's calmed the troubles in her life, it gives us great hope. He could do it for us. And so we get the peace of God that passes all understanding. I can't encourage you enough. Choose faith over fear. Faith will set you free from fear. I don't want to live 20 more years in fear. I want to live in faith. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be afraid any time in the next 20 years, but fear should never control our lives. Faith should control our lives. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, that we get to choose. You're not going to force us to live by faith, but you certainly encourage us to do it. Because why should we quake in fear when the Lord is the foundation of our lives? When we simply trust Him, He answers prayer. When we put our faith in you, Lord, you'll set us free from our fears. Father, work in our hearts that we live by faith. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen.